Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
We're good to go. So, Aaron, you're a new part of the Call with Dads little group we have going here. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome. I appreciate you guys involving me and bringing me back.
Well, hopefully
we're able to get you on a lot more and be able to have more of these conversations, since we're trying to make it so that our community is more than just basically Mr. Pancakes and I rambling, Tom joining us occasionally. So the big thing is making sure that we all have these good discussions and be able to know what is more than just our point of views.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of point of views, kind of the one thing that is in my mind is the topic that we're choosing this discussion to be on is the differences. And we were talking about the little bit before we started airing, the differences that you have between values and things that you see and how some people disagree with. Like a good example is my biological brother thinks that me homeschooling my son is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So he was taught how he was basically taught public schools and all this is the best thing in the world. And but he has
a lot of people that have that view. They associate going to school with generalized social construct. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you don't go to school and you're not around all these other kids, you're not going to build a social construct. And I beg to differ. My opposing view is, you know, for all of human history, nobody went to these big government public schools. You know what I mean? It's only in the recent last, 100 years? And they've only progressively gotten bigger and more government socialized. And now we've got all these different clashing, like, cultures and views and all this other shenanigans. So maybe the parents are teaching their kid one way, then they go to school and school teaches them a different way. So I feel it's
kind of thinking about that is
not conducive.
It's weird concept. I mean, my son's in public schools. Mm-hmm. I went to public schools, and it's pretty wild seeing the difference between what public schools used to be and what they are now. It's almost like now they try to not offend anybody. If there's no, there's pretty much nothing, like everything's really vanilla. So like when I was a kid, we would go, it was Christmas time. We'd go out, cut down a Christmas tree, or it was Halloween. We would wear Halloween costumes and have like little parties like that. Like now, like they're not even allowed to talk about Halloween in school. Like they have Pumpkin Day where they wear orange. At Christmas, so there's no decorations up or anything like that. They promote not having different views and just kind of they want all the kids just to be here in the middle.
It's called toxic empathy.
Yeah.
Pretending they care about other people's shenanigans so much so it hurts everyone around you.
Yeah. It's interesting when there's those moments of clashing. I know we were talking about having like different views and things. Like myself, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. And I try to teach my son by those values. And we were kind of discussing earlier this week where it was around Christmas time. My son loves Jesus. He loves all that. He loves the music and he loves the lessons it teaches him. But then there was another kid in his class that my son was, he likes talking about it. And the other kid told him that there was no Jesus and he told him that there was no Santa Claus. Yeah. And it was a great education topic to be able to give to him. Because his first mindset was this kid's different. He doesn't agree with what I do. So I'm not going to be his friend. And like a part of me is like, I'm proud of him for standing up for his convictions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like at this age, we have to kind of understand that kids are kind of reflections of their parents.
Parents, right.
Whereas like that kid doesn't know, he only knows what he's taught at home. Mm-hmm. And that's his value system. So when it conflicts with somebody else's, like there can be a point of contention there. And like, I want my son to be able to accept other people because like my thought process, if I teach my son to have a certain set of values that, maybe when he has that conversation with that kid that has a different set of values, that maybe the other kids seeing him and how he acts will be an entry point of like that kid being able to have free thought and being able to have better values. Cause honestly, after meeting that kid's parents, I kind of saw where the kid was coming from. And like, I feel bad for those kids. Like, it's like they have to be stuck in that until they're able to see the world a little bit. So,
Right. This may be a conflicting view that me and you have. I want my daughter to be accepting of others with different points and different views and stuff, but I also want her to recognize that that is different and those people may not be people I want to be around. So stay away. You know what I mean? And I don't know how you feel on that. Like, she
I
can
think
accept them and be okay and just, but avoid them at all costs. You know, these people are bad. They're not for me.
Right.
I don't want them around me and
Yeah,
my
I think
family.
that
It's that simple.
as a when once we get to be like adulthood, that makes more sense. Or as far even like even high school, like you kind of get a sense of who a person's gonna be. But I think like at this age, like 6, 7 years old, it's hard to gauge what I mean. You kind of see the signs. And honestly, sometimes I think it's good for our kids to see different points of view because it kind of brings them back to what their core values are. Like I can, like he can tell me this happened. He saw this with this kid, and my best way is to educate him and keep his, make sure he's aware of his convictions, that he knows that he's not gonna be persuaded to feel a different way because that's how we are at home. Those are the values I give to him, and those are things that won't change. So, but I do get your point. It's honestly, this world is, it's a
It's
very evil
crazy.
place full of crazy people.
And we have come across multiple children and families over the years that have totally complete conflicting views of ours. And I mean, one of the things it like you said, it is kind of helpful, for my daughter to see that. As much as I don't want her to see that, it in a way is good and helpful because it does help her build her morality, around Christianity and Jesus. You know what I mean? Because she sees how they act and the some of the things that they do, and then we talk to her and explain to her, honestly, they don't believe the same things that we do. For the most part, her parents do those things, or they do these things, or she acts this way. I mean, not 100% totally because they don't believe in Jesus, but when you believe in Jesus and you follow the rules and and the model and morality of Christianity, for the most part, you understand good versus evil, and you don't really act this way because it's not okay. Not to mention, you don't want to act that way. They act that way because they may not be evil, but they also don't understand good, so.
Now,
And she, it does help her kind of restrain and get herself back to morality. So it's a good thing.
the one thing I want to add in there is I think it's very important for us all to also remember the fact of, like, I've made no hidden agenda that I am against what they teach in schools nowadays with the whole pride and LGBT and all this. But the point,
That I'll block. Oh, get away. No.
but
100%.
the reason I point that out isn't because I want to bash it off the bat, but it's more of they're teaching kids at a younger age about this stuff because kids are very easily influenced. So, like, I think our discussion about the group of five, your closest five groups of people are determining what kind of person you're going to be. The fact is like I'll allow people with like we've had nannies that have been Muslim, that have been Christians, that have been all sorts of things, right? And the one thing that I make a rule of is you can talk about culture. I have no problem with that, but you don't discuss your religion with my son. And you don't discuss your politics. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I the peop the person can be good, but we teach a certain thing. Influence explaining it in a realistic air, like a kind of setting that my son and my daughter can understand. That's not going to influence them, because so like Aaron, when your kid got told there's no Jesus or Santa Claus, my son would. Because we've talked about it and we've talked about history, my son knows that Jesus has been recorded. He's the most recorded person in history through documentations, not just through the Bible, but through actual documents of that era that show that Jesus has been alive.
He's the only religious entity or person or whatever That's in every single religion. There's talk of him in every single one.
But
yeah, so basically how I kind of addressed the situation was, I was like, other people don't believe in the same things that you do. And I was like, but Jesus loves that little boy as much as he loves you. So that little boy right now is lost. It's almost, I think after me and the parent, I think they were an atheist. And I almost think that, like, I think being an atheist is worse than, like, I can respect other religions, and like I kind of respect their faith and their ability to trust in God and to have a following, and I can respect that part of it. But I think like the atheist part of it, to believe in nothing, to have no guidance, that's where my issue kind of comes in. So I want him to respect other people, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if I want, again, like with. Yeah. Believing in nothing is worse than believing in something that's different.
Right.
So,
and that's kind of where I'm coming from with the whole fact of, you need to, yes, letting your kids be around other cultures and other belief systems is perfectly, to me, is perfectly acceptable and fine. But where I find the problem is like, they're going to interact. Like, you don't want your kids dealing with bullies, but you know well enough they're going to face a bully every now and then. You know, even my son dealt with a bully in homeschool in one of our co-ops, right? So you kind of, sadly enough, know that it comes up. Now, I don't know why the kid was being a bully. I don't know what was going through his head, but I also know that I'm not letting my kid spend a lot of time around that other kid, because if he has these issues, I don't want my kid to be picking up those issues.
Right.
And, you know, until the kid's ready to actually work through whatever issues, now mind you, my son's 7 years old. He's going to be 8 soon. So most of
his kids, this is perfect. All of our kids are the same age.
Same things. But basically it comes down to is that, yes, having your kids around different beliefs, I think, is perfectly fine. Like, I talk to people all the time personally that have different beliefs. But the fact is I know I keep the people that have similar beliefs to me closer to me, because when I need to have my support system, and I'm feeling weak, or I'm feeling like I'm going to be kind of going the wrong way, I don't want somebody guiding me the wrong way. And if you're having, and let's just say if you have an atheist and a blue-haired teacher telling you, oh, this is how it should be, you should love these people no matter what, they're all going to go to heaven with you. And you're like, wait a minute, no, the Bible says this. And you're like, so no, these people, they're not accepting Jesus. They basically have condemned Jesus and all this. They're not going to heaven. It's just like, I might know you, but if you curse me and talk bad about me, I'm not letting you into my house. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I kind of go back to like the kids portion of it and the adult portion of it. Cause like it's, I always like wonder at which stage, because they all, and like in the Bible, Jesus loves the children. Right. So like children are innately good. Well, so at what point, I mean, cause they can only, I mean, I grew up in a kind of a broken home and, kind of corrupted. I didn't really have a lot of the values I had until later on in life, and I was able to finally see like where I wanted to be in life and what kind of values I wanted to have for myself. So like when we say like the atheist part of it, like of a parent that has a different set of values, like I kind of want to give the child, like, again, in elementary school, they don't really have the ability to go online, do research, go to church by themselves, or and that's what's kind of good about if you're settled into like a church and like you have like youth ministries, and eventually you have like youth groups where kids can bring their friends at like 13, 14, 15 years old. Yeah. And then kids can have like a finally see the light that they wouldn't be able to otherwise. And it's almost like, that's why I kind of like on my channel, I try to instill in the dads, like you're the example that your kids are going to set themselves on. They see dad doing something, that's what they want to emulate. So it's like, again, like I teach my son his values. I teach him scripture. We read about Jesus, and I can't just read those things to him. I have to actually live them. So Like if I'm out in public, I'm always saying God bless you to somebody. I always tell them I have a blessed day. I always make sure that those interactions are great, so that when he has those type of interactions too, he has a similar mindset. Again, like with the bullying thing, like I think innately, I think kids are good, but like I think when they get a certain level of parenting at home, I think that translates directly into the type of person they are. So like I've always instilled like into my son being good and treating others respectfully, and he's always done that. But like I see other parents and I see how they interact with their kids. They yell at their kids, mm-hmm. like they belittle them, and then I feel like kids they absorb that and then they give it back into the world.
Yeah.
That's like, so I constantly I pray for these kids. Like I'm like, just help guide these kids to where they need to be, because they're not starting from a good place.
Right. And part of the problem comes to what you're mentioning about the parents, right? So I guess the best way of looking at it is, if you have a kid, let's look at I'm using your situation as the example. The parents were atheists, so they're consistently telling their kid, believe in nothing, believe in nothing, believe in nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to grow up doing that, dealing with that whole mindset, right? So where I see the problem of, if you know the parents are not disciplining, they're not teaching value systems, they're basically gentle parents with no belief. Do what you want, be loving. No, I'm not. No, we
ask their baby for permission if they can change them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So no way. if you're doing that, to me, the kid getting the short end, but
yeah,
nonetheless,
you're just harming a kid at that point.
Yeah, but the truth comes down to is that kid's not going to change until he's an adult and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing that kid around that kind of environment around your kid is going to keep wearing your kid down to the point of they're going to say, well, fine, you're right, whatever.
Yeah.
And the fact is my son has the support system here at home. We read the Bible, we discuss it, we do all this different stuff. The fact also is that you can, it's kind of a, I don't know if I heard this or what, but you can keep hitting a rock with a hammer. The first couple rocks, you get a few chips off, some dust, nothing happened. But if you keep hitting it, eventually, if you hit it in the right place repetitively, it's going to crack. So allowing differences occasionally into your worldview, I'm all for.
Yeah.
Kid says, there's no Jesus, there's no Santa Claus. Perfect. All right, let's discuss this.
Yeah,
historically, Santa Claus and Jesus both are historical figures. Santa Claus, he was a saint. He was a German or something like that, or Norwegian or whatever it was.
So the history of Santa Claus is a little skewed, but yeah.
Yeah.
it's actually a combination of three people. And the Santa Claus that we know of today was actually a marketing thing done by Coca-Cola in the early 1900s, late 1800s.
The red suit became Coca-Cola.
Yeah, because ultimately speaking, the suit was like brown and Santa
green
Claus is a combination of three different people. One was a thief. One was a chimney sweep. Or no, the thief and chimney sweep are the same person, because he used to use his chimney sweeping to break into people's houses. The other person was a saint that would help
the children.
And then the other person, he wasn't a saint until later on. He was a local German man, and every Christmas he would spend all of his earnings or money and buy gifts and trinkets and stuff and give it to all the local kids. And then there was a third one. I don't remember what it is, but yeah.
See, I've heard about the German and the saint.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad for like the kid, like to take that away from like, honestly, my son knows like my values, my son's value system is, he's like, Dad, I think Santa Claus is the second nicest person in the world. And I was like, well, who do you think's the first? He's like Jesus. So like his priority list is Jesus first. And then, but then there's sometimes certain sectors of Christianity are against like
the Santa Claus
because it's
because
idolizing a figurehead or kind of like the pagan belief.
Yeah.
So again, it's the role of us as the parents to kind of be that gatekeeper. Like we're talking about like the kids of different values. And I guess in a public school setting, we can't control the kids that are put in that system, but we can control from the time they're not in school. Like I'm definitely not going to let my kid go over to that kid's house alone. Yeah. I'm not going to have dinner over there. So
You're not going to spend a long time with them.
Yeah.
I've always said, and I maybe you guys might not agree with this. I don't agree with the majority of bullying, but there is a small level of it where sometimes it's needed.
I agree. And you know,
it's them kids in high school that were just terrible. You know, I'm going to say some of them we straightened up by bullying the piss out of them and made them normal kids. And they grew up today and they're normal.
Right.
You mean like,
otherwise they would have been LGBT fags with, you know, kissing boys and doing crack on the streets. So, or maybe have AIDS. So let's be honest.
Bullying, you know,
it's a fine line. It's a fine line because it really is.
There is a point, but you know, I do think that calling out kids for being weird, saying, or trying to make sure that the kids understand, hey, this is not acceptable. Like all the kids dressing up as animals in schools. That when I was growing up, you would have gotten beaten up. You would have gotten made fun of just endlessly.
Right.
But now everyone's like, oh, well, it's fine. And I guess now some schools, kids are starting to be so tired of it. And it's because it's gotten so out of hand because no one fixed it from the beginning.
Yeah.
That, I guess, let's look at that. That is a perfect example of being accepting differences with no limit. So having differences, okay, you want to think you're a cat? All right. Here's the psychologist's number. Go talk with them, et cetera, et cetera. You have a difference. You need to figure out why you believe you're an animal when DNA, genetics, everything.
You know what a little bit of extra bullying also did? It also made these 25 students go, maybe I shouldn't act like that one guy.
Right.
And maybe I won't get. So in a way, you know, like I said, I'm not promoting for bullying.
Of course not.
I don't think bullying is okay. But I do believe there is a level of community when the community says, that person over there, that witch, that's not okay.
Right.
You're not going to practice magic on our children and be all weird. I'm sorry. Like, it's not allowed. So you do it, we're going to do bad things to you. That's it, you know. And that sort of, I guess, community style-esque connection, it does happen in the form of bullying for children. I just think it's our duty as adults to, you know, to guide and teach our children how to bully. You don't just go pick on random kids because he's a big fucking nose. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, but if he's doing bad things and stuff and being a bad person, or if he's, you know, a homosexual and publicly displaying it, maybe you shouldn't go pick on him and call him thick, you know, but what you should do is just don't hang out with him. And when he comes near you or whatever, just be like, no, I'm okay. Thank you. Get away from me, please. And that's it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like the things that kids can't control. I think that's like when, like, that's where the line is kind of drawn. Like,
it's up to the parents to guide in that situation.
And he can't help with deformity. He can't help like having a skin issue or like a certain like physical characteristic. Like that kind of stuff is like, you're not gonna.
I had a big wiener in high school and I just couldn't help it, you know. All the girls, you know, I'm just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
kidding. Sorry. It's really small.
Hey, but the fact, I mean, it is accepting diversity, accepting different ideas is perfectly fine. But like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't accept diversity in the sense of accepting, hey, you have a different belief, you have a different upbringing, this and that. My kids would never have been born because, like, my wife, born and raised in China, has where China being Christian is illegal, and like, she never really grew up with that whole thing.
Yeah.
So the balance comes down to is knowing where to say, like you said, if you have somebody that believes they're a gray high witch, whatever, you kids need to learn those are the unacceptable type of things to be around. But, if somebody believes in a different religion, say we'll use either Muslims or Sikhs or whatever, and they want to have a discussion with you about it, as long as it's held at a like a discussion and not an argument, then that's acceptable because this we need to teach our kids discussing the topics is not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I kind of want to
amongst
touch on that real
adults.
quick. I actually have a coworker that's Muslim, and like we've built like a friendship over the years. And honestly, it's almost like our society promotes not talking and discussing these things, and that's almost become more problematic. It's almost like taboo to talk about it.
Which
But
is
like I
weird because
was,
we're the freedom country, right?
yeah, and like I was sitting and talking to him, and we both have our firm beliefs and like our faith, but like to just ask questions like how do you think about this, how do you feel about this, and then like in response he would ask me the same thing, and we would kind of go, it was very respectful and just very like I was generally curious about like stuff like that. And it's like I asked him about Jesus, and like, and if you ask a Muslim about it, they believe in Jesus more than they believe like than Judaism does. Like they actually believe in him, like the final reckoning is they still have Jesus coming back. That's, they just don't believe he died. So like being able to have those conversations without like needing a war was kind of, it's kind of amazing and kind of taught me something. And that's an example of like, I even think about like the military. Like you get a bunch of guys that have no choice in the fact that they're going to be around each other, and they come in with different viewpoints and different conflicting ideas. And sometimes that having to be close and build bonds together kind of makes you learn new things that you wouldn't have learned on your own. I mean, because I think naturally we kind of just gravitate towards the things that keep us comfortable. And again, with the public schools, like would I like him not to be around certain things? Yes. But I think as parents, if we're willing to be engaged in our kids and what they do and their interests and what they see, and kind of be that guiding light for them and be somebody they can trust to come talk to, and when those kind of situations arise, we can kind of talk them through it and kind of be like, well, this is where it's different, this is where you're the same, this is what you should stay away from. If you hear this, that's when you need to kind of disengage from it. So again, it's like, just I see so many disengaged parents, and I think that's why so many kids end up becoming what they are. And that's, I mean, I think that's why we're on this right now, is like we're trying to show dads that like, hey, if you don't participate, if you don't act in your kids' lives, this is, they can go in their own direction, and sometimes that's not a good place that they're going to end up.
It's funny. I actually was just having a discussion with my wife sort of about that. Sort of on accident, not directly, is more so indirectly. So, me and my wife, we don't really go to church. We're very Christian, but I've never really believed in going to church, giving my money to some dude so he can go buy a Mercedes. Like, as far as I'm concerned, no. My church is at home with me and my family. And that's how it's always been. We do go to like a little chapel that her school puts on every Friday. Didn't go today because they're having stuff going on. So they didn't really have chapel, but normally we go on Fridays. And it's just chapel. You know what I mean? They do it for the students every Friday, but they allow the parents to come and sit in. And I've always been like, all right, why wouldn't I? Why would I say no? You know what I mean? It's a church without having to deal with all the politics of going to church. And some of our friends from school have invited us to go to their church, and we've kind of thought about it a couple times. And my wife was like, well, her friend actually invited her and us to go to church. My wife was like, well, I mean, if you don't have to go if you don't want to. You just me and my daughter can go, or me and I'm not gonna say her name, but me and so and so can go. And I was like, that's weird. Why wouldn't I go? You don't really, like, in my mind, you don't go to church unless, I mean, unless if you don't have a family, then obviously. But if you're a family, the family goes to church, right? That's just how it goes. Every once in a while, sometimes, the dad or the mom, if they can't go, they don't go, right? You know, that happens, obviously. Things, you know, life happens. And she was like, oh, it's, you know, I know a lot of parents where it's like that, you know, so-and-so, you know, her husband, like, never goes. He's always busy. And so-and-so, her husband, sometimes he never goes. He's always busy. It's like, or sometimes she was telling me one of them, sometimes he just doesn't want to go. He doesn't feel like going. I was like, I don't understand. I was like, man, that's, you know, that to me, as bad as it and simple as it sounds, to me, it's that's bad. You know what I mean? That's disengagement from your family and from God. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's choosing to be like, oh yeah, you got to deal with it. I don't feel like it. I'm going to go sip my coffee and be lazy. Like,
it's
do you not care about your family? Like, this is how this happens. This is how, you know, disengagement of the father comes about. You know what I mean? The father, you know, women aren't going to follow a man that's just like, whatever, I don't want to go. You know what I mean? If you want the your woman, your wife, to follow you, then you need, I mean, in a weird way, you need to lead her, you know, say, right, we're going to church. Let's go. You know, sorry. You know?
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things too is like, I started going to one church a while ago. So I was raised Catholic. Well, I wasn't, mm-hmm. I was baptized Catholic, but me going to church wasn't really something that happened because, again, my parents didn't take me. So can't go. They're not taking me. I go to a non-denominational church, and I went to one church, and it kind of brought me to my faith and kind of led me, and I got baptized, and like I saw the church progress into something I didn't really like that it was turning into. Like, it was kind of like almost a commercial of what Christianity is. Like, it was constantly just like every Sunday was the same message. It was always like, Jesus loves you, accept Jesus. No, it's like, no, at some point it's gotta be challenged, but their goal wasn't to challenge us, like, as Christians. Their goal was to get more people in and finance the lifestyle they wanted. Right. And that kind of took me away from the church. Cause when I first started going, they had like a life center where they helped out the community. That they would list like where all the funds were going for, like, towards the community, and they stopped doing that. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I went to a new church.
Like, I am completely aware that in order for that church to operate, you know, they are going to have to somewhat control it as a business and make a profit and make money, you know, so on and so forth. I get it. Most of them, they're all nonprofits, but even nonprofits, whether we like it or not, nonprofits is just a label that they use to not pay taxes, which is fine. It's a church, right? But they actually do need to turn a profit to fund certain things, right? And I'm 100% aware, but, you know, the majority of them aren't like that. You know,
there's some churches that take it to a different level of life.
Right. You got people like Joel Osteen and stuff that are like flying in jets, and they got a huge mansion and all this stuff. Like, I'm sorry. Like, and that's a lot of churches. That's even some of these local ones here. Some of these local ones use it to just, I mean, like, the head of the church is like rolling deep. You know what I mean? That's not okay. That's not all right. You know, I mean, if you want to roll deep, start a business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Church is part of
like us, like, as Christians, like, we need to be able to identify when, like, that's happening. Like, it's our job to challenge the authority or the messenger. Yeah. And it's okay, like, and that's a good lesson to teach our kids too, is like, don't just blindly follow something because they say, like, that's
because it seems like, good.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we like it or not, you watch. You know, what was pornography, right?
A Sears catalog.
But I mean, pornography seems great. It really spikes that interest. It turns you on, makes you feel good. You want to get into it more. And then there's the whole, like, passport bros, you know, pornography floods you with the idea of that's a good thing. So I want to follow that, maybe go do that. So it's for all of time. All good things come with hard work, you know, but all bad things are just like, they feel good. They're great. They're wonderful. You know, smoking weed, drinking booze feels great. Right. And I want to follow these things, you know, banging bitches, doing, you know, getting down with everybody and all these things are instant gratifications and they feel good. And it's the same thing with following false idols. It feels good. It's great. Following a hard church that, you know, but then you find out, you know, that's
I took an interesting lesson from church a couple couple weeks ago, and it was like talking about like how like your faith in God has the ability to build things, build relationships in your life, build you to a certain character. But the evil that's out in the world, like Satan or the enemy, they don't have the ability to create anything within you. They only have the ability to corrupt or break parts of you that were once good. So that's like, that's constantly society. It's like that those bad things can't make me who I am, but they can definitely corrupt me down to where they are.
And that goes back to watching who we have around us. Is like I said, teaching our kids discussion and understanding is fine, to where you can discuss it and try to understand where somebody else is coming from, so that you can have a good relationship is one thing. But allowing, like, I'm not going to let my son sit there and go on and on with a devil worshiper or satanic person that is pushing him to accept a demon into his soul. No, I'm not.
He only comes if you invite him.
Exactly. Yeah. And the fact is, I know well enough that my kid, I'm responsible for who they interact with. So now in public schools, you don't have that whole grasp on, you can't control, even in private schools, you can't control who your kid's around during that time. You can tell your kids, hey, if these people act this way, if these people are this way, avoid these people because they're going to bring you down. They're going to make you, you can try to teach your kid that. But I don't know about, even honestly, even as homeschooler, I can control a lot of who my son's around, but he does co-ops, he does classes, he does all these things. I don't dictate who gets to be part of that. So I just have to hope that the people that are in there have similar values or close enough values to not have to worry overly about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what that I kind of think about too is, like, again, with us being the gatekeepers, like I kind of think about it as like my mind, like the military part of it. Like every year, like we go to basic training, like they teach us a basic set of skills. Every year we go to the range and we practice those set of skills, because the goal is, by doing those drills over and over and over again, that if we're ever put in a situation where we're actually taking live fire or doing something like that, it's instinctual that we're going to be like, I know exactly what to do. And I think kind of like one of the positives of being not, I would say not being like, have them totally engulfed in that, but like just having awareness of it. And like, that when he gets those situations where there's going to be people like that, there isn't even like that bit of curiosity of like what the other side might be like, because I've already showed him what it can lead to, where it can be bad. And I've given him the context clues of, if you hear these certain words, then you get away. If you see this certain activity, you get away. And again, that's like, that's what I try to do. Cause I mean, again, as a young person, I was corrupted by a lot of outside forces. I was abused and stuff like that. And I kind of point to certain points of adversity where I wish I would have had that guidance at that time to be able to be like, no. So it's a slippery slope, because like you want to completely guard your kids from anything that's bad, but unfortunately this world is full of it everywhere. I mean, like,
you have to give them that, you have to let them learn a little bit.
That's terrifying. I think about that all the time, and I'm like, man, I hope I do a good job, because one day they're gonna walk outside and I'm not gonna be there holding their hand. I'm not gonna be there to block them. And I hope that what I did was good enough to give him the tools he needs to be able to protect not only himself, but those he loves and cares about that are around him.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, same.
it's a hard thing to think about, because like for us, we all have young kids. So trying to predict what we're doing, like if you have older kids, obviously you can say, yeah, I taught them well, I did this. At this stage in life, we're sitting there going, all right, fingers crossed. Let's hope that it doesn't go off the rails. And I think a big part comes down to is we have to trust ourselves as well, because we keep talking about what we have to do. But like we just said, we worry about, are we going to do the right thing? And we have to trust that we're doing our best. We're working to be better so that we can give our kids better lives. I mean, these conversations alone help. I've said this several times, having these type of conversations with other dads, with you guys, helped me become a better person because I think a lot more about what I'm doing. I'm not just going through the motions. I'm not just so tired that I'm doom scrolling on my phone. You know what I mean? And all these things. The big thing comes down to is I trust even when my wife disagrees with what I'm doing or argues with what I'm trying to do because she doesn't understand the dangers out there. She's grew up in a different kind of society. So she also doesn't pay attention to the crazy things that I do. And it makes sense because she has me to watch out for the danger. But so I have to trust that I'm taking the abuse or the arguments or whatever you want to call it for my wife, for my kids, when they get angry because I won't let them do something. I have to know that after all this stuff I have to deal with, I'm going to end up seeing the positive at the end, where because of me being the bad guy, because of me being the guy that says these people are bad. Well, they seem so nice and friendly. Well, yes, that's how they bring you in. I'm the one that has to make sure they're aware that these people are not the good people. And once my teachings and they learn the values that are needed and they go out in the world, they go sit there and say, holy criminy, Dad was right. I am so glad I got to do this and got to see this and learn to do this and all these different things that we've tried to put into our kids' minds and hearts is paying off. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things is that there's dads out there that are getting to the point where they're like, I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of all fighting with the school, fighting with other parents, fighting with my wife. And they're just like, I'm going to sit back. I'll do what I have to do, but I'm not going to fight anymore. And I think that's a big problem where this diversity of beliefs comes in is once you stop fighting for your kids in that way, then you kind of allow this negative in where you no longer are raising good kids, good boys, good girls. Mm-hmm. You're letting other people do it because you're letting them decide what those kids believe.
It's kind of wild to me that like people have that mindset of like, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of it. Like I think about the totality of like childhood, like it's such like a short period of time. Like I feel like my son was born yesterday. Now he's almost 8 years old. And it's like, if you think about like the grand scheme of your whole entire life, this time you have with them to build them into hopefully good humans that make the world a better place is such a small sliver of our lives. It's like, just suck it up. Like if you have issues.
I was talking about that a while back. We were discussing something about that. And I was like, I just don't understand how so many people are like, same thing what you're saying. How are they so quick to just be like, oh, my kids, you know, I mean, it's like it's 18 years of your life. Like, well, it, you know, you did all of your life for up to 20, 30 years or whatever it took you to have a kid. You had a great life up until then. Now you have a kid. You know, maybe it sucks. Maybe it doesn't suck. In my eyes, it doesn't suck. It's annoying and frustrating, but it doesn't suck. But anyways, for that 18 years, you can't put your partying, drug smoking, and pole smoking on pause. You know, like, come on.
Right. But I will say.
You get right back to it in 18 years, buddy.
You don't understand how it is. It's easy to see how that comes to be. Society tells you to think about you. Live your dreams. Yeah. Live your truth. It's all about you. Yeah. And you're being told that you are the center of the world. Everything else is, everybody else is really not as important. You are that.
What religion is that?
Government. So
Judaism.
I have no idea about the Judaism faith. So, but what I do know is that when you're only focused about yourself, when you're only focused about your truth, your beliefs, your time, your, then it's easy to say, I'm tired of being a parent. I'm tired of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, look at me, I'm a good parent. My kids get to enjoy a happy childhood because I don't interfere. Or it's about, they're doing things to make it how they look, not by what they're doing for their kids.
Yeah.
I think it's a total picture. And like, I think like I love being a dad and like, I love the idea of one day being a grandpa and like being able to have more little kids around me and my son to still look to me for guidance, not because he wants me to solve his problem, but because he trusts me enough to come to me to see. But I mean, seeing the way you teach your kids to actually see the reward of them actually implementing the things that you teach them. Like that moment I was talking about with the kid and him telling the kid telling him that Jesus wasn't real. To see my son get so upset about it, to be able to tell me that he was angry, to go to his teacher, tell him that he was angry and that he wasn't going to be friends with that kid anymore. Like, that's the beautiful part about doing this whole journey, is that like you teach your kids right. And then when the situation finally arises, you see them step up and actually produce the wisdom that you've given them. And they, they use it to solve
you see the fruits of your labor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. And that's, I think, the big thing is to be a good parent, be a good dad, you need to focus on the bigger picture, not just the here and now, this and that. It's like Mr. Pancake says, it's frustrating, but it's still rewarding as can be. I have no idea. I wouldn't change a thing now, even with all the pains and ups and downs and what so have you, you know? I mean, it's one of those things that beliefs are, like, we all have, even the three of us obviously have different backgrounds, different beliefs in a way. I'm sure if we discussed even Christianity, we would all have different viewpoints on certain topics. There's no question about that. There's no way we could go through the entire Bible without having a different thought on something.
Yeah, whenever we meet Jesus, we can ask who was right.
There you go. But it comes down to, is I think we have similar values in the sense and similar goals that we want our kids to see better things in life. We want them to be stronger kids and live and be happier. So I think a big part of it comes down to is bringing our values and make sure that, like you said, your son, he said he was not going to be friends with that kid anymore because he's not a good kid, or I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But basically, your son learned that value of, okay, he is not a good kid because of these things. Now, who knows? Maybe he grows up, he gets through whatever his parents have been pushing on him. He meets Jesus, or he kind of relents on and focuses on being a better person, whatever that takes for him. It is what it is. But you can't say you have to accept everyone as they are, because, you know, we are a lot of our parents and the kind of things our parents push into our mind. So, like, I know that there's been a long debate on your kids are going to be who they are no matter what you do, versus if you teach them, they're going to be a certain way. And I kind of look at both sides as, like, I'm not very close to my biological dad, but I used to catch myself doing things that he did, and I had to stop myself, and I had to train myself not to do this. I hear there are certain things that I do, like I'll hear in my own voice sometimes, I'll hear his voice. So I kind of, that's not a big deal, but it reminds me of watching, because when I did know him, I didn't like the things that, how I felt with him around. You know what I mean? He had at the time, and it's, again, I must state this clearly, it's been a long time since I've seen him. He could have changed, I don't know. But at the time, it was all about me, me, me. He had that, how do I look kind of mentality. Yeah. And that mentality made me not really thrilled to be around him. So I kind of obviously drifted away in what's I have. I think that making sure that we're teaching our kids what is right, wrong, blah, 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 is the important part. I think that we need to build our family strong and remind other guys that it's not about us. If you want to be selfish and think about it selfishly, the better you do, the better your kid comes out looking, the more you make your kid a better person to where they have a better life, people will look at you in a better light if that's what you want to do. And my personal perspective, I tell my son all the time, and I tell my daughter, I want you to be better than me. My son reads better. He's 7 years old, and he reads better than I do at times, especially when I'm tired, you know? But a lot of that comes down to we work really hard with him on his reading. We push him to do, like, his whole day today is all about just reading books. That's all he's doing, picking books and reading them and getting through them. So, but he's also reading stuff that matters, science books, whatsoever. So we push an equal understanding of science, religion, and our values to help them be better. I mean, where do you guys kind of want to end this? What's your guys' final thinking on this?
I guess from my standpoint, I would emphasize, so being a single dad, I grew up with a lot of adversities, a lot of traumas that happened in my life. I lost my mom at a young age. I was 21 when my mom died. And the greatest thing I learned from losing those people, like my grandparents and my mom, is that I had a certain level of regret when she passed away, and that kind of ate at me for a long time. And I think about being a dad, and I think about being what I would have needed at that age. And then the journey is hard, especially if you're a single dad. It's hard because you only have half the time to implement what other dads can do in full time. So you need to make the time that you have you need to put the hard work in, because it's very hard in the beginning, but it gets easier as you go, because you don't have to keep telling them over and over and over again, because they already know, because of the hard work you put on earlier. It's just, you don't want to look back at your life as a father and have regret. You don't want to be like, I wish I would have done this, I wish I would have done that. If you actually put the time in to work with your kids and teach them right, you can look back and say, I made the most of every single opportunity I had to make them better. And then when they're finally 18 or once they're an adult starting their own families, you can look back and say, there wasn't one missed opportunity. There's not one thing I wish I would have done differently, because I was there, I was present, and I did the best I could. And I think you see the reward when you see your kids become successful. Just don't live with regret, because like I said, this time goes by really fast, and you can regret something that happened a year ago, because that is such, it's a very small part of your life, but it's a very big part of their life. So build the best relationship you can with your kids, teach them the right way, give them the convictions, and give them the tools they need to be the best version of themselves. It's pretty much where
All right. Pancakes.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Same. I mean, that was kind of a weird analogy, but I mean, there's a reason why when you watch the Harry Potter series that the Weasleys are like the main focus of the entire movie. I mean, if you pay attention, seems like it's Harry Potter, but that's just the storyline. But the main focus in pretty much every series, every single movie, is the Weasley family. The Weasleys are involved in everything. There's a reason for that. You know, when you watch those series, I mean, they are the ultimate family. They have no money. They don't care about anything. They just are family. And where does everyone gravitate to? The Weasley's house. Every time. So there's a reason for it. You know what I mean? It's what we're ingrained to do, you know, have families, you know, so just need to be present, man. It's today's society has just kind of broke us down so bad to the point to where, I mean, fathers are not like, they're like, oh, I don't want to go to church today with their family. Like, give me a break. Like in my, you know, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, what up? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, what a wuss, you loser, you know, suck it up, go to church with your family. Yeah. So I don't know. That's my two cents.
It sounds good. So let's do this. First off, Aaron, where do people find you if they want to either watch your videos, reach out to you, or what so have you?
So you can follow me on X, Instagram, or YouTube, Boy Dad Life, all one word, 612. On my YouTube channel, I've been diving more into tips and strategies for single dads, for dads in general. I still have my dad jokes of the day, but I'm trying to have more of a meaningful impact and making real connections and helping at least one dad. So that's where you guys can find me.
Sounds perfect. Right. Pancakes.
Yeah. The normal, pancakeswithyourdad.com. You can send messages through there. There's also, you know, X, Instagram, Facebook, True Social, and LinkedIn as well. You can send messages to all of them. The lines are wide open. I'm always happy to answer anything. there is the nonprofit still there. I just have had no time to rebuild the website. Working on it. It's halfway rebuilt, so I got to finish it and get it back up and running. But once it does, I will definitely let you know. But the lines for donation are still up. The donations will go right into the account, and those will fund things like rebuilding the website, stuff like that. So for now, it is just a starting point. It is not an active, like, crazy, we're like helping the world nonprofit right now. We're just kind of building resources, getting ourselves positioned to, you know, be able to do those things. But you can go, you can Google it, American Liberty Foundation. The website is American-Liberty-Foundation.org once it's up. But we do have an X, Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, or a LinkedIn, and a True Social. So you can go to all those as well. Please go to the website, thepancakeswithyourdad.com. Get some cool merch. World's flipping best dad all day long. We do have cool Gary Plochet FAFO stickers and t-shirts and hats. You can always get those because those are like the coolest dad. That's like the coolest dad in the world. And when we had Jody on, that was awesome. Jody is a great, amazing dude. So definitely go get some of that stuff. People have been buying those lately. So that's an awesome thing. But yeah, go there, get some merch. Definitely helps us with the show.
Sounds perfect. And then obviously Call With Dads, callwithdads.com. Call With Dads is what you look up for on any social media that we're on. I'm not going to list them all out, but the easiest thing is find us on your podcast player. This is also a podcast. We're doing all live streams. The live stream stays up now. If you subscribe to our YouTube shorts, you get notifications of the YouTube live streams that we're doing like this. And you'll get notifications of the shorts that we post of the videos that come out on practically a daily basis. So subscribe to our channel, Call With Dads. Go to callwithdads.com. Other than that, we're good. So we'll look forward to talking with you all soon.
Absolutely. If I say one last thing, Eric?
Go ahead.
If you guys are watching this, you're doing a good job. You're making a bigger impact than you know. Your willingness to seek out help to be a better version of yourself is going to pay dividends. It's going to make your kids better, and ultimately it's going to make their kids better. So you're building a tree. Be proud of yourself. Keep working hard at this.
Absolutely.
Perfect ending. Thank you.
Take it easy, guys.
See you.